Notice on the screen a do-over button. Don't you wish you had one of those? How many of you would do 2017 over? Anybody? Some of you would? Would you pick some things out of 2017 to do over? Yeah, most of us have some things, don't we? And of course, it'd be great if we could erase our mistakes and our sins and do 2017 over and start fresh in 2018. Some people see the new year as a do-over, and kind of like the guy on the screen, they have last year's resolution that they didn't fill, and so they're going to try to do them this year. And you know, a lot of times we talk about resolutions and promises at this time of year, and I know I've preached on it before about keeping your promises to God, but I'm not going to do that this year because most of the promises we make on the 31st, we wind up breaking by the 2nd or the 1st even, don't we? And a lot of them, let's be honest, a lot of them are just sort of frivolous. I'm going to lose 30 pounds by June. Yeah, right. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to... And most of them, frankly, are things that, well, they're a little bit empty. And they're sort of frivolous. And most of them, well, it doesn't matter if I don't do them anyway. They're not really life changes. They're not really something that will make a difference. And so I thought this year I would do a short series called A Fresh Start, and look at the lives of some of the men and women in the Scripture that show character traits that we need to put into our lives. Okay? That's what we're going to do for the next several weeks. And instead of saying, well, I'm going to do this or that, or I promise this or that, let's just say we're going to start living instead of listing. We're going to live it out instead of listening. The first one is Noah here. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. Genesis 6, 5 through 14. And I want to read that. I want you to read that with me. And understand, I'm not going to deal with the flood. I'm not going to deal with the science about it. I want to look at the man that God chose to live through the flood, him and his family. And I want to see the main characteristic that we need to live out in our lives this year. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're going to build it. And he explains the size of the ark. Now, as we look at this, we say, wow, God is really making things new. God is giving a fresh start to everything in it. The background, obviously, is this fresh start is going to creation, because on the other side of creation, the whole earth is different. Everything is different. And we won't go through all that, but as you read about the earth later, it's just amazing difference on the earth. It's a difference for mankind, because they start out again with one family, and it's a really new start for Noah and his family. Now, the reason for this new start is what God said right here. It's man's continual evil and great violence on the earth. We read it in chapter 6, verse 5 again. His thoughts and his imaginations were only evil continually. That sounds like our time, doesn't it? What's God waiting for? To bring some judgment again. Well, we can talk about that one time when we talk about Revelation. But the reason, of course, is man's great wickedness on the earth. And the means of starting over is God is going to bring this huge flood that will take out all of mankind except Noah and his family, and will take out all of the animals on the earth. He's just going to start fresh. He's just sort of going to crumble up and start over. Now, in contrast to the overwhelming evil of the rest of mankind is Noah. And you notice how he puts it, everything is evil, all their thoughts were wicked continually, but Noah. And look at verse 9 with Noah, 6:9. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Three things. Number one, a righteous man. It means basically that he conformed to the standards of what God had for him. He conformed to God's standards. And with that comes what? It means he's made God the one who's in charge of his life. God, I'm going to do what you want instead of what I want. That's righteous in that sense. And then he says he was blameless among the people of his time. And that means that he lived a life that spoke of his closeness and his obedience of God. And people could see that. And the third thing it says is that he walked with God. And that term, walking with God, is used of several people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it means that he had fellowship with God and a daily dependence on him. I've got somebody who is giving me some problems there on the side. She's just saying amen, right? Yeah. She's singing. She forgot we finished singing. Now look at Noah's life of obedience. It basically says that Noah obeyed God. And that's the one characteristic we want to notice today. Noah obeyed God. In verse 22 of chapter 6, it says this of Noah. Look at 6:22. It says, Noah did almost everything just as God commanded him, right? Is that what it says? Noah did. Oh, I know you're breathing. I can hear you breathing. What? Noah did everything. Now notice that expression. Just as God commanded him. Just as God commanded him. That's repeated in chapter 7, verse 5. That's repeated again in verse 7:9. That's repeated in 7:16. Noah did what God commanded him. And notice the list. Noah built an ark at God's command. That big boat. It took him 120 years. And during that time, Noah preached to the people at God's command. 2 Peter tells us about that. Noah filled the ark with animals and supplies at God's command. See, that's what you're supposed to say at the end, okay? Noah entered the ark at God's command. Y'all are good, okay? Noah left the ark at God's command. Everything he did at God's command. He obeyed God. He obeyed God. He obeyed God. He listened to what he said and he obeyed God. He did everything God gave him to do at his command. And so the character trait that we want to add to our lives in order to get a fresh start today is, I will obey God. I will obey God. I will obey God. And you may think that's sort of simple or simplistic, but when it comes to being the kind of man or woman that God wants you to be, where's the key? obeying God, doing what He says to do. Not out of a legalistic thing that says, oh, if I do this, God's going to bring me to heaven. Because we know it's not salvation by works, but it's salvation by grace. But because I want to please Him, I want to grow in Him, I want to be productive for Him in 2018. I keep trying to say 1918, and that's not that. 2018. I want to obey God. I want to obey God. And I will obey God this year. And I know that as you think about that, well, that's so general. But as we say that, you know there's something that you struggle with every day that you know is wrong that you do, right? Some of y'all don't want to admit it, right?
Right.
Oh, good, y'all getting better. Okay. Yes, there are. There are things we know God said, thou shalt not do, that we are doing. And there, we know that there are some things that God says that we should be doing that we aren't. And every day we struggle with doing what God wants us to do. So, this declaration, I will obey God in 2018 on all the things that He wants me to do. Now, look a little bit further with me on this, okay? Because we need to obey God, number one, quickly. Every command God gave to Noah was met with swift obedience. No delay. You don't see Noah waiting and saying, God, give me a few years before I do this. You know, when God says, build that boat, He doesn't say, well, you know what? It's going to take me a while. I got to figure out how to do it, and I got to get some helpers, and I got to do this. No, He starts building right away because this is a big project. He starts right away. No delays. Are you putting off obeying God? Is there something that you keep saying to God, well, let me wait a while? Is there? Stop resisting. Obey now. Obey now. And we're to obey completely. Nothing God said was left out in Noah's obedience. Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. And we're not to be like King Saul, who conveniently did only what he wanted. Turn with me to 1 Samuel and stay in Genesis, but go back to 1 Samuel with me. 1 Samuel later in the Old Testament here. 1 Samuel, we're looking at 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15 is an account of King Saul. And God had commanded him to go and to wipe out, to defeat and to wipe out this particular group of people. They were very evil. And He told them, don't leave anything undone that I tell you to do. I want you to defeat the people. I want you to get rid of the king. I don't want you to leave him alive. I want you to get rid of everything that goes with it. Don't you take anything that they have. You give all that to God. I want all that done. Is that right? You got it? Yes, sir, I have it. Okay. So as he does that, we see in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel and verses 13 and 14 that the prophet comes and Samuel comes to see Saul. And look at what Saul says in chapter 15, verse 13. Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. Isn't that great? You ever, one of your kids ever do that? Huh? Yeah, you know. Okay, son, bring out the trash. Yes, Mom, I brought the trash out. All of it? Well, not quite. I brought out one thing. Well, then that's not complete, is it? And that's the way it is with Saul. Look at Saul. Hey, I've done everything God told me to do. Verse 14. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle I hear? You see, what he had done, he kept the livestock. God said what? Destroy it all. Don't keep anything for yourself. And so Samuel says, Wait a minute, I hear something. What is that? Bah, and then moo. Did you do everything I said? God said? Almost. And so Saul is making excuses. Verse 15, Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites, and they spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Is there something that you're not completely obeying God on? Oh, but God, I did this much. Did you do it all? Did you do everything I said? Almost. And you see, he's saying, "Oh, I did. I almost did it." And then what does God say to him? God says through Samuel. Look at verse 16. Stop, said Samuel. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And then he tells him that his kingdom is taken away. You used to be small in your own eyes. Now you're a big shot and you think you're going to do what you want to do? No, you obey God. And you obey Him completely. And then next thing is you obey Him without excuses. God sees right through our excuses. Look at verse 15. Saul answered, the soldiers brought them for the Amalekites and we're going to offer them to God. Samuel says, stop. God knows what's going on here. You're a big shot in your own eyes. That's not right. In verse 22, God speaks to him and says this. Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. What's he saying? When God gives you something to do, do it. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I saved all that so I could worship you with it. Well, I'm sorry, but God would rather have obedience than the fat of these animals and the sacrifice that comes up because your heart is not right. When we make excuses, when we don't obey God completely, what are we doing? We're rebelling. And that's what he said to Saul. You're rebelling against God, man. You didn't do what God told you to do. God doesn't want all these sheep as sacrifices. He just wants your sincere obedience. Let me ask you, what excuses are you using so you don't have to obey? Oh, but God, you know, other people are doing this. Everybody's doing this. So why can't I? Oh, but Lord, I know you want me to be happy. This makes me happy. You ever hear that? You ever say that? So obey Him quickly. Obey Him completely. Obey without excuse. And you've had your kids do that. And you, as a kid, you did that when you were... Oh, but Mom, you know, the dog was out there from the neighbor and he would chase me and I could only get one of the trash cans out there. Yeah, right. The fourth, without apology. Without apology. What do you mean? Am I to be rude with people? No. Our first allegiance is to our Lord. If you're on the job and your boss says, go do this job, and one of your coworkers said, well, you should do this job, what do you say? No, 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 no. The boss said this, and that's what I'm going to do. Because he's the one who pays my check. Or she. And so the same thing is true with the Lord. We got some great examples in the Scripture. One is Daniel's three friends. Remember, in chapter 3 of Daniel, you know, that whole thing with the furnaces there, and they're to bow down and worship when they hear the music, and they don't bow down, they stand up. And somebody comes and tattles, oh, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And so the king brings them up. Remember that whole story. The king brings them up. He's not happy. Okay, guys, maybe you didn't understand. When the music plays, you bow down to this statue. Sorry, King. We can't do that. Why? Because we will not worship any god besides our God. And you can kill us, you can put us in there and fry us. Whether God protects us or not, doesn't matter. We're not going to bow down. Wow. That's some guts. Now, you may not be fried for obeying God, but your friends may fry you, you know. Oh, yeah, you're kind of a spoilsport, huh? You won't do it. Wait, what are you, a holy roller? Blah, blah, blah. You go to church. Yeah, what are you, some kind of a, you know, goody two-shoes? What's your answer? God? I'm going to do what God wants. It doesn't matter what you think or what you think. I'm going to do what God wants, period. Obey Him quickly. Obey Him completely. Obey without excuses. Obey without apology. And that's what the apostles did in chapter 5 of Acts. Remember? They went out preaching. They brought him in. They beat on him. And they put him in jail for a while. They let him out and said, now don't do that again. Don't talk in the name of this Jesus you're talking about. Don't talk about him. They go out. What do? The minute they walk out, they're talking about Christ. They bring him back in and say, what did we tell you? Remember in chapter 5 their answer? Hey, we obey God rather than man. That's it. No apologies. Will you choose to obey God this year? Start fresh now. I will obey God in 2018. Oh, wait a minute. Don't wait. 12 o'clock 2018, start today. Start today. Start living instead of listing. Get rid of the list and start just doing what God wants us to do. Amen? Bow with me for a minute. Lord, we know that you gave us a fresh start when you saved us. But not everything that needs to be our lives is out. There are some things we haven't obeyed on yet. We're still dragging our feet on them. Lord, thank you for the example of this man Noah. A righteous man, a blameless man, he walked with you. But the one thing that is so clear in his life is that he always obeyed. Help us to obey quickly, completely, without excuse, without apology. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.